Welcome to Cryptopreneurs Radio, brought to you live by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Cryptopreneurs Radio is a community of entrepreneurs who strive to affect change and increase the public acceptance of cryptocurrency. We are the miners, entrepreneurs, and innovators getting involved in the evolution of digital currencies. Now, here's your host, Tony Gambone and Linda Ballesteros.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I'm here today with my co-host, Linda Ballesteros. Linda, welcome. Welcome.
Thanks, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, Linda, you know, most people know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You're in Portland, and I'm in Houston. And there's just an incredible amount of awesomeness, I think that's a word, that we can be in two different cities, doing an internet radio show together with a guest from California or New York or Australia. And it just shows you the power of the internet. And as I move forward every week on Cryptopreneurs Radio, I just keep seeing the benefit of the internet. And the internet is what's allowing this new currency to be created. So I'm curious to see in 20 years from now what's going to be the newest thing on the internet. Right now it seems to be cryptocurrency. When we talk about cryptocurrency, I get a little confused sometimes because it's new to me. I don't understand the different things. I understand the word mining, but when you talk about a blockchain, I'm thinking block party. So today we're very fortunate to have someone on the show that can dig deeper into the blockchain technology, explain more about what it is. But when you hear these different terms in cryptocurrency, Lynn, what do you get stuck on?
Well, you know, certainly blockchain is one of those things that, folks, I am not, Tony can tell you, I am not technical. So when you talk about blockchain, I immediately think, oh, they're the miners, you know, the guys, the technical guys, the geeks that go out and they mine for the coins. But what I've been learning, and that's a wonderful thing about the show that we do, is that it allows us to learn along with you. Because we're certainly not the experts, but we love to bring you the experts. And I am learning so much about not just cryptocurrency, but blockchain as well, and that it's very versatile. They're using the blockchain now for so many different things, and it's not just restricted to mining digital coins. So, Tony, I'm excited about our guest today to see what he has to say, because he really is ahead of the curve as far as I'm concerned.
You know, you and I are a wee bit over 40, just to say it to the least, right? And to bring a guest on that's 22 years old and very educated in this area just really allows us to know that this is the future, because this is what the younger generation is looking at. And, you know, it's what they're learning, it's what they're teaching in colleges and stuff now as well. So it's really, really important for people to get on board and learn a lot more about what's coming, because, I don't know, I believe this is going to replace the dollar bill, the change that you carry in your pocket that no one carries anymore. It's going to replace the plastic card that you use at the ATM machine. So there's a lot of things that are going to take place in the future with this, and a blockchain is used, from my understanding, for more than just the cryptocurrency side of things. I believe it has a lot of different availabilities to be used for. So I'm excited to see what we're going to learn today.
Absolutely. You know, Tony, when the internet first came out, we would never have known back then that you could use the internet for so many different things, and we certainly didn't know that there was going to be digital currency. So as a new industry springs up, we never know how that's going to ripple out and affect a lot of different areas of our life.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just good, as I was mentioning in the beginning, that we have the use of the internet, and we don't have to be face-to-face. We can be learning daily different things from people all around the world. We're able to keep up on stuff. And I know there's a lot of stuff written. You have to decipher the truth from the fiction, I guess, of articles written. There's all types of things that we run across, and you know, there's been a lot of claims on cryptocurrency, good, bad, and otherwise. But I just think it's awesome that we have the opportunity to learn more about different things through the internet. And the proof of it is now they're using the internet to create a currency. We're going to learn a lot more about that here today. So I want to touch on just a couple of things. Lynn, first of all, if anyone's listening to the show for the first time, make sure to write down the call-in number if you have questions for the guests. It's 347-989-1363. Or you can go to Facebook and connect with me or Linda on Linda Ballesteros or Tony Gambone. You can find Cryptopreneurs on Facebook, on Meetup. And you can go to CryptoPreneursRadio.com and learn more about the show as well and listen to previous shows. So I hope everyone will take time out to do that there today. But Lynn, what's going on in Portland? What's the newest news that you've had this week? I'd like to catch up with you.
Well, Tony, Portland is certainly a little bit different than Texas. We've been up here a couple of years now, and we're still adjusting to the culture up here. But Portland is a much more trendy town than Houston. And so we're trying to get in with the trends, but they just haven't convinced me to get out and jog two or three times a week. That's just not Mario and I's style, but it is beautiful up here, folks. I tell you, if you haven't been in the Pac Northwest area, you certainly need to make a trip up here because the seafood is beautiful, the scenery, and I'd love to have a cup of coffee with you if you get up in this direction.
Very good. Very good. Now, Lynn, I know that you manage our pages and stuff. Explain to people what they'll find if they go to Meetup or Facebook and learn more about what we're doing.
Yeah, you know, I am not an expert at digital currency, and what I have found is that there are a lot of different news feeds out there. And as a matter of fact, our guest today actually owns one and puts out a lot of great articles. But I look for articles on CoinDesk and, you know, on the Merkle. And so I post the links to that, anything that I feel that's relevant, anything that's really breaking news that tells about the advancement of digital currency or the blockchain. I also you'll see the links to our radio shows where you can listen to the archived versions of that. Anytime we have a great blog post, you're going to find those up there as well. And we provide all of our guest information so you can contact them. And I encourage you to subscribe to some of these news feeds so that you can get that information in your email box every day.
Yeah, do a really great job with that. I know that we do a meeting every week here in Houston on crypto for cryptopreneurs, people learning more about cryptocurrency, and people come to the meeting just because of what they read on Meetup and Facebook. So very thankful to have you doing all that. So I hope people will take a minute and go and sign up or give us a like or stop by and make a comment. So, Lynn, let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to bring up our guest. And, you know, I'm going to sit here and practice saying his last name. I can tell you his name is Mark Argenbaugh. I believe I'm saying it correctly, but he's a 22-year-old cryptocurrency enthusiast. Okay? And, you know, when I see that age, you know, that's my youngest's age. And I'm just super excited about this because, well, we're hitting a new market. We're hitting the market that's upcoming. We're hitting the areas of knowledge that, well, most of us at our age take for granted. So Stay tuned. Fill up your coffee cup. Grab another bottle of water. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Mark. So we'll be right back after this here short commercial.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
All right, welcome back to the show. Sorry we had a confusion. I was pushing the wrong button. Anyway, if you missed the beginning of the show, you can go back and listen to it by going to cryptopreneursradio.com and check out all the archives that are there. My first guest today, as I mentioned, is a young man out of California. And he is, he's a 22-year-old enthusiast on cryptocurrency. So I don't want to waste any more time. I want to introduce Mark to the show. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for the introduction.
Now, Mark, I want to make sure that we try it again. I want you to pronounce your last name because, well, I chickened out.
Sure. My name is Mark Argenbias. I'm a 20-year-old cryptocurrency enthusiast.
And it says you studied computer science at UCSC and are currently taking a break to pursue opportunities in cryptocurrency. I'm going to ask you a question that a parent asked another parent. When you decided to take a break from college, what did your parents say?
Surprisingly enough, they didn't care as much as I thought. Because I guess I'm doing good things, so...
Very good, very good. Now, have you always been some type of tech guy? Is that what is that your background?
No, actually, I didn't know what I was going to study computer science until I actually came to college. One of my friends, he wanted to be a computer scientist, so I decided to take a class with him. And next thing I knew, I really fell in love with computers and coding, and ever since then, I couldn't stop.
Interesting. Now, I want to make sure, because my co-host is typing me a message here saying that I didn't introduce her, so I do apologize. Linda Ballesteros, please meet Mark, our guest today.
Hey, Mark. Glad to have you on the show today.
Hi, Linda. It's nice having you, too.
You know, I tell you, just like Tony says, we are baby boomer generation, but I feel that there's so much that your generation can teach us. And because so much of this comes natural for you guys because you were raised around computers. Now, what is it at this age made you think that there was a need out there for one of the new the Merkle, which is your website that has a news blog that provides great news, great information about not just blockchain and cryptocurrency, but it allows us to learn more about the trend and where it's going. At 22 years old, what made you think that that was a need out there?
Well, I first got introduced to Bitcoin in 2013 when one of my friends, he wanted to buy Bitcoin as an investment because he saw the price kept rising, and he told me all about it. At first, I dismissed it as just another Ponzi scheme or just some scam because there's a lot of those in college. A lot of sort of like where you would buy a product, and if you have someone else buy it or if you have someone else subscribe to it, then you that's how you get your money back. So I just kind of dismissed it. Then a few months later, I checked back on Bitcoin, and I saw the price rose almost tenfold. So it was $12 first, and then it went up to 100. So then I realized that there was something there. I mean, if the price kept rising like that, it must be true. So as I dug deeper, I really got into Bitcoin mining, because back then I lived in the dorms, and surprisingly, I didn't have to pay for electricity. So if I were to mine in my dorm, I wouldn't have to pay any electricity. And for a miner, that's really important. Mm-hmm. That's electricity will directly cut into your profit. So if you don't have to pay electricity, you know, you can double your profit. So back then, I started really getting into mining, and I realized that, you know, the money was with those mining altcoins, because in altcoins you can, you know, they'll have their own different algorithms, and it was a good time. It really got competitive after, but mining was pretty profitable. So my first business venture with Bitcoin was when I decided to take my mining rigs and try to lease them to other people. So I made a site where you can rent hash power, and I would pretty much rent out my rigs. But after I took a look at the business plan, the business model, I realized that it didn't really make sense, because I was just upcharging people for using my rigs where they could host them themselves. And I had a few sales, but it wasn't anything major. So I had to rethink my strategy. So I really wanted to start a Bitcoin company, but I didn't know what to do. So I thought the best way to do it would be just to start a blog, so I can learn everything I could about the cryptocurrency, and maybe then I'll come up with an idea. But when I actually started the blog, I really fell in love with just creating content, and I just like seeing people viewing it or commenting on it and seeing it on Reddit. And also, I felt like there was a need for like a source of information where everyone could just go to one place and get everything you need about Bitcoin. Because for me, I had to go to certain forums, and I had to go to certain like Stack Overflow. It's a very technical website. I kind of wanted to explain to Bitcoin to less technical people.
And, you know, that's what I find as well, Mark, is that I have to get bits and pieces of information from a lot of different sites. And what I like is that you do have a well-rounded source of information. And most of our listeners are probably newbies at this. And it's great for us newbies to see that there are trends going on out there. And if you watch the articles closely enough, folks, then you're going to see that there is more and more talk about countries and large organizations getting involved here. Now, Mark, how do you get your articles, for one, and how do you market your website to people?
Sure. Well, for my articles, I have a few writers. They're freelance writers. And usually I'll give them some topics to write about it. Sometimes they'll have a spreadsheet where they'll just be tuned into the latest news. And so one of my writers, JP, he does mostly news articles. So he just looks for the latest news, and he writes for a bunch of other blogs as well. We just kind of want to bring the latest news that's happening in Bitcoin so you don't miss out on anything. And one of my other writers, Traderman, he does technical analysis on we selected a few cryptocurrencies, because I actually know there's a ton of different altcoins. You know, there's a new altcoin being released every day. So we've selected, I think, 7 or 8 really key cryptocurrencies that have been around for a few years, and then we just do some technical analysis on the chart. So those that are looking to trade it can just stay in tune as to what's happening. Because sometimes there are really great opportunities, like a market will just crash for no reason. So that's a great opportunity to just buy some coins for cheap. We also offer, we have a review session where we give reviews about certain services. And usually I go to the forums to look for what services are being talked about, and there's a lot of scams out there, so I want to make sure that people know which services not to trust. And finally, we also have an education section, which also JP writes for, and I usually just give him topics for that. And for when it comes to marketing, so before we had the Merkle, the website was called BTC Feed, and that was mostly focused on Bitcoin. The problem with that was the way I was marketing it, I was honestly just trying to get views. I wasn't really trying to create good content. So after a while, the way my writers were submitting content, a bunch of people complained on Reddit and got our domain banned. So I had to start from scratch. It was about a year and a half worth of work that just got ruined. But I had to start from scratch, and I decided that the Merkle would be, we're not going to really try to spam links or promote content. We're just going to more focus on the readers and on creating good content. The way I'm marketing it now is mostly through Twitter. We share all our articles through Twitter. We also have the Daily Decrypt. If you don't know, it's a YouTube show. We make a lot of YouTube videos. We market it through that. But the best way is word of mouth, honestly. If our readers share our content, that's the best marketing.
Let me also ask you, as I mentioned, our audience, they're rather newbies, and you've mentioned the term altcoin a couple of times. Could you kind of explain to our listeners what that is? Because I think that's a term that hasn't come up in some of our other interviews. So we like to keep them educated here. So what's altcoin?
Sure. So altcoin is just a variation of Bitcoin. It can either be a clone of Bitcoin or it can be just a completely new currency. But at the base of it, it's still based on the same blockchain technology that Bitcoin is based on. Usually altcoins are still decentralized. You can still mine them just like you can mine Bitcoin. There's only very slight differences. Usually altcoins have some sort of feature that everyone's excited about. One coin that I used to mine back in the day was called Vertcoin. And that coin's main feature was the mining algorithm would update every few years, so that you couldn't make a specific hardware to just mine that coin. So for Bitcoin, for example, they have ASICs. ASIC stands for Application Something Integrated Circuit. So it's pretty much a specific hardware built just to mine Bitcoin. It can only mine Bitcoin. It can't mine Litecoin, because in Litecoin there's a different algorithm. The problem with that is those companies that can come up with the latest hardware and come up with the fastest way to solve this other algorithm, they're the ones that are going to make the most money, not the little users that are mining the coins. So if you want to give most of the power back to the user, you have to create what's called an ASIC-resistant altcoin. So ASIC-resistant means that you can't just build hardware for it. And if the algorithm changes every year, then it doesn't make sense to build hardware for it, because every year you have to make a new piece of hardware.
Now, we've talked a lot about the digital currency today, but I know that you have a lot of articles on the Merkle. And, you know, folks, before we go any further, let me just give you the website. It's themerkle.com, is it .com, right? .com.
Yeah.
And it's themerkle.com. So check it out, and you'll be able to find lots of great information. Now, Mark, like I said, you have a lot of articles about the blockchain, and the blockchain is actually the foundation of the mining of the digital currency. But what I keep seeing, Mark, is that the blockchain is going to be used for a lot of different purposes, and it's not just about the digital currency. What kind of trends are you seeing with the use of blockchain?
Yeah, definitely. Right now, actually, it seems like the trend is to really avoid using the word Bitcoin and mostly using the word blockchain. Because blockchain doesn't have a negative connotation to it, you know, Bitcoin does. And right now, a lot of companies they're looking into using blockchain for settling contracts. I'm sure you've heard of that. Ethereum is a really big one that has smart contracts that are embedded in the blockchain. But that's a little hard to understand for the average, for average listener. What's a smart contract? The other uses of blockchain are, for example, decentralized data storage. So what if you have a really important file you want to store? Right now you could store it on your computer or you could store it on a flash drive. But if you lose the flash drive or your computer crashes, then you're gonna lose your file. You have to try to upload it somewhere and save it like online. But the problem with that is if that company goes down or if that company gets hacked, your file gets exposed. So in decentralized file storage, you can use the blockchain to give everyone a little. Let's say there's 1,000 participants in that blockchain. So you give everyone 1,000 of that file. So each single person is not going to have access to the file, but when you combine them all together, then you can have the whole file. And the only person who can combine all those pieces together is the person who owns the file. So, for example, that's one example of blockchain to use for something other than just value transfer.
Well, I know that Tony's been listening, and Mark, and I know that he's probably got some questions as well, because, as I said, we're all newbies here, and we're all learning at the same time. So, Tony, Do you have some questions for Mark?
Yes. You know, there's a lot of information to take in, and for the average person, they're maybe not caught up completely to the conversation that we're having. But one of the things that I find is I go on your website, and I find a lot of different stuff, okay, on the Merkle. There's articles about Bank of America, about Japan, just different places around the world and situations that are going on. When we talk about cryptocurrency, one of the questions that always comes to me is, how did they determine the value of the coin with each different coin being made? Because there's a number of coins being made other than Bitcoin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do they determine it? Is it through that process that you were talking about? It's so hard to mine or find or...
Yeah, so when you talk about Bitcoin mining or any altcoin mining, it's at the end of the day, all you do is just running a program on your computer. You don't have to, like, sit there and really do anything. An altcoin gets a price based on the price it gets exchanged for. So I'm just walking through, like, a life of an altcoin. So an altcoin will first get released. Usually it will get released on a Bitcoin forum, bitcoin.org, an altcoin announcement section. Then people will start mining it. When you first start mining a newly released altcoin, obviously no one else is mining it. So the people who are mining it are going to get all the coins. Usually there's a period of about a week when people mine it before it actually gets in the exchange. So during that time, in the first week, so people who want to invest in that coin will usually mine it, but others will usually try to buy it from the miners. But it's still not really going to have a definite price. Once it actually goes in the exchange after a week, then people start trading it. They usually start speculating on it, just like a stock, like a penny stock. And, you know, that's how it gains value. But sometimes you see an altcoin, like altcoin X has a 1 cent value, and some other altcoin has 10 cents. Now, it doesn't really mean that the second altcoin, because it's worth 10 cents, it's better than the first one. Because the first altcoin can have a bigger supply than the second one. So when you're looking at an altcoin, you have to also look at its supply and how much total coins there are. Because there are some coins, I think it's called like 21 coins, where there's only 21 coins in existence. So even if the coin itself isn't really worth anything, just because there's 21 coins means that each coin will be worth like at least like $100.
So is it based on demand?
It is based on demand, but it's also based on hype. So usually it also would have a higher price when it first comes out because there's a lot of hype surrounding it. And once the hype dies, it's, yeah, usually so does the demand and so does the price.
Okay. Okay. Here's a question that I got from someone on Facebook here. Does everyone have to use Bitcoin to create a coin?
So I kind of understand what you're trying to say. He says that you have to clone Bitcoin to make that altcoin. And by cloning is, so when you make an altcoin, what you really are doing is you're taking Bitcoin's code and you're almost like erasing the blockchain. You're like starting from zero. You're starting from the first block again. Like you're creating a new blockchain for a whole new coin. And when you do that, you can change certain parameters. So when you create an altcoin, you're not really coding anything from scratch. You're just taking Bitcoin's code. You're changing some of the hashes so it can start a new blockchain. And then you might change some parameters. Like you might change how many total coins will be in existence. You might change, instead of finding a block every 10 minutes, you find it every 5 minutes. You can do whatever you want. I guess in a way it is true that every altcoin does come from Bitcoin, but there are a few exceptions. Some coins are based on a crypto node. It's like a little different. It's just a different code. So some coins do have very authentic code, like Ethereum, for example. It does have a lot of original code. Yes, the technology is based on Bitcoin, like all the blockchain and all the confirmations, but a lot of the code is unique.
Okay, so I hope that answers your question. I get information that there's 600 to 700 different people creating coins. One of the things I want to talk to you about next, Mark, is the fact that Bank of America bought up 38 patents for blockchain. Are the banks going to start turning to cryptocurrency? What's your take on that?
I think there's a common saying. I think it's first they ignore you, then they fight you, and then you win, I think. So at first, I guess banks ignored Bitcoin, and now they're trying to put up some patents on it. But I don't think it will help. I mean, Bitcoin is already decentralized. There's already no government involved, so the fact that some patents will be issued, I don't think it's really going to stop innovation or anything like that. I mean, I can see the banks are trying to preserve their power and trying to, advance technology and find a way to use the blockchain. I'm sure they will. I'm sure you can't have I think what they want is a system like Bitcoin, except with each transaction also includes your, like, social security or something, you know? So you can really link everyone together. Well, it might not be a bad idea, but it's very hard to execute, and I don't know how well the community will take it. But the banks are definitely trying to put up some patents, and they're definitely trying to see if they can make some money off of the blockchain technology, because the blockchain technology is definitely the best thing that happened.
Mark, I know that, you know, Tony was talking about the banks, but I've also seen articles out there, and we've posted those on our Facebook page, where countries, governments are really looking at the blockchain and digital currency to either replace their fiat currency or even to use it for other purposes like storing records, or I even heard one where they're going to be using the blockchain for voting, you know, all kinds of the voting. What is your idea about how countries are using it or thinking about using blockchain technology?
Yeah, so countries are definitely thinking about it, using a currency that's based on blockchain technology. Like, I think the Isle of Man, they tried to do something like that, but it didn't really go that well. And I know some countries, they're still very uncertain as to what Bitcoin is, so they're looking at how other countries are regulating it. So, for example, Russia, you know, they're not very friendly towards Bitcoin and all, but they're still looking at how the EU will regulate Bitcoin or how they'll treat the currency, and then they will decide how
mm-hmm.
So I feel like a lot of countries are still waiting on how the EU, for example, is a really big influence on how the rest of the I believe in how the rest of the world will accept cryptocurrencies. Also, for example, in the United States, it's so unclear as to what Bitcoin really is. I mean, the CFTC, the Trade Commission, they are classifying Bitcoin as a commodity,
mm-hmm.
just like, you know, a gold or anything. But IRS is classifying Bitcoin as property, so you have to declare it as property. And then you have other federal agents which classify, oh, I think the SEC, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, is classifying Bitcoin as a security. So now Bitcoin is property, a security, and also a commodity. You know, it gets very confusing. So I think in the coming years, we'll definitely see a country start to agree more on what Bitcoin is, and hopefully they all agree that it is a currency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because there is some confusion out there as to what Bitcoin or what digital currency is. In fact, folks, next week we're going to have an attorney as our guest, and she's going to be talking. She's an expert in the digital currency arena, so be sure to tune in and start gathering your questions now, because you can call in and ask those questions to her. But, Mark, I really appreciate your take on all of this, and I really appreciate the fact that the Merkel does provide a lot of great information for anyone who's wanting to learn more about digital currency. Can you tell us, for our listeners, tell us how they can find you, if there are topics that they want to hear more about? How would they reach out to you?
Sure. The easiest way would be to follow us on Twitter at the Merkel News. If you want to reach out directly to me, you can send us an email at contact@themerkel.com. I'm the only one that checks the inbox, and I check it every day.
Okay. Great.
And if you guys want any more, the readers want any more topics or anything specific, then yeah, just send me an email. I can get it done the same or next day. I mean, we're very open.
Very good. Very good. I appreciate that. Tony, did you have anything else that you can think of that you'd like for Mark to talk about while we've got him?
I just have one more question, Mark. With all the different coins that are being introduced, you know, from Jay-Z to Litecoin, the OneCoin, all the different coins out there, what do you think is coming in contact or coming out that's kind of similar to Bitcoin, or maybe have the same availability to become a commodity or a property?
I think the next competitor to Bitcoin is Ethereum. So Vitalik, he's a main developer for Ethereum, and some people are really calling him like the next Satoshi. Some people are even thinking he's Satoshi. But he just didn't, you know, he's not going to admit it. But Ethereum, it's been around for a while, and it's kind of like a sleeper coin, so it hasn't really risen in value until recently. But their main advantage is that they offer smart contracts. They also let you code apps on the cloud, something that Bitcoin doesn't allow you to. It's still very complicated, and even I barely understand it. But I just know that Ethereum is a very great contender to Bitcoin. And if you haven't followed Bitcoin, you know that this is a very big crisis right now. It's not really a crisis, it's more of like an argument. It's about the block size. It's about how the block size is filling, and how now in order to send transactions, you have to start adding higher and higher fees. The fee is still a few cents. It's nothing. It's nothing big, but if this keeps happening, then the fee will keep on rising. And eventually what will happen is So every 10 minutes, the miners get a 25 Bitcoin reward for mining, whoever finds blocks. In about in 2-3 months, or even less, that reward is going to go to half. So it's going to go to 12.5. So what happens is now the miners, all the profits get caught in half. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to make it so some of the reward comes from Bitcoin fees. So if the fees start rising, then every block you can get another 12 or 13 Bitcoin in fees. So you end up back at again where you started with 25 Bitcoin. So all this, all these games, you know, all this debate, it's really hurting Bitcoin because you always see people on Reddit asking, why isn't my transaction confirming? Why is all this happening? Bitcoin is supposed to be, you know, instant value transfer without any ability to reverse the transaction. But now when the transaction doesn't confirm, it can get dropped from the network and all of a sudden you kind of reverse it. So there's a lot of exciting stuff happening in Bitcoin. Yeah, if you read the Merkle, you'll definitely be up to date.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to stay abreast on the Merkle. Mark, thank you so much for your time today. Great information. We'll be checking back with you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we'll be checking back with you to see if we can get some updates from time to time. So once again, give everybody your contact information.
Yep, you can follow us on Twitter at The Merkle News, or you can send us an email, contact@themerkle.com.
Well, we appreciate your time today. Folks, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. So we'll be right back after this short break.
You've written a great novel, and now it's time to sit back and roll in the dough. Not. In today's saturated world of book publishing, an author must know how to sell their book. At the Celebration of Authors event, we have created 12 fun-filled, information-packed seminars to help give you a valuable boost in selling your book. Join us on April 30th in Austin, Texas, as we celebrate writing and marketing. To learn more, go to txauthors.com and click on COAD.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
Okay, so I just got a message from my producer that I was muted. Isn't it great, the power of the internet? What's even better is if you know how to use it properly. So welcome back to Cryptopreneurs Radio. My name is Tony Gambone. I'm here with my co-host, Linda Ballesteros. And Linda, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, Tony, loud and clear.
Yeah, so anyway, as I said earlier to myself before I unmuted myself, our guest today, Mark, is a 22-year-old cryptocurrency enthusiast, and you can find out more about Mark and everything to do with cryptocurrency, blockchain, and anything in that arena by going to themerkle.com. You know, Lynn, there's a lot of information on the website and on the interview. Because sometimes, you know, it gets a little overwhelming. But as I'm on the Merkle, I see Bitcoin ransomware education about crypto defense, buying Bitcoin with crash through Liberty X is not anonymous. Now, some of the stuff is very, very strange information in there. But the more I read it, the more I'm starting to understand. So I hope people will take time out to go and do that. There's a lot of time put into this website, a lot of great information. But Lynn, what did you get from today's interview?
Well, you know, what I love that Mark is doing is that he is providing education. You know, Tony, we've had guests before that when I ask them what is the biggest hurdle that digital currency has, every one of them has said it's educating the consumer. And that's what Mark is doing. He's providing a platform where consumer can go out and find out what is going on with digital currency, what are the trends, what's happening, and you know some of the basic information that we need. Now, there's a lot of information on the Merkle that I do not understand because I'm not a miner. I'm really not out there trying to mine coins, and I'm not out there trying to learn how to use the blockchain. I just want to be more current about what the blockchain's being used for. So, like I said, folks, don't get overwhelmed by some of the information on some of the news feeds that that are out there that you have access to. Just pick out the articles that you can understand and get started there. It doesn't matter if the article is "What is Bitcoin?" Start with that. You know, we all started with that article. You know, just like Mark had said, when he went to college at UCSC, he wasn't at all interested in taking computer science. But what happens is when you start learning a little more about anything, it becomes more interesting. So that's kind of what I got from him, Tony, is that we have to start somewhere, and he's got information on the Merkle for everyone in all areas of their education of the digital digital currency.
A lot of stuff. And I'm still a little confused on whether or not people have to use a part of Bitcoin to be able to create a coin. Were you clearer on that than I was?
Well, I think, in fact, we had a guest a few weeks ago. She has her own coin, Tatiana Moroz, and she had built her own Bitcoin, and she talked about it being built on top of a Bitcoin platform. I think what they're doing is using the Bitcoin formula, so to speak. It's like Bitcoin was the one that that started everything. So they're using the same Bitcoin formula to build the new coins. So since I'm not a miner, I don't totally understand all that. And to be honest with you, I don't know that it's important to understand all of it unless you're going to be mining it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you and I, we have that concept of we don't care how the hole gets in the piece of wood when we take it to Home Depot. We just want to drill it. We don't want to leave with the hole. So, but I guess there is people out there that want to know more about that. So my recommendation to you is to go to themerkle.com and connect with Mark and ask your questions and bookmark that site because there's a lot of things happening there that are going to explain more about what's coming up in the future. So, Lynn, you know, you mentioned next week you have a lawyer coming on the show. I am still, along with yourself, searching for experts in the cryptocurrency world. So if that's something that you do out there as a listener or you know someone that's an expert, contact us, okay? You can go to Cryptopreneurs on Facebook, on Meetup. You can go to Cryptopreneurs Radio. You can reach out to me, Tony, at TonyGambone.com. We're always looking for more experts so that we can not only help the listeners learn, but help ourselves learn as well. Lynn, anything you got to add to the show?
No, I did want to mention again that next week our guest is Pamela Morgan, and she is an attorney. One of the few attorneys in the U.S. that is an expert at dealing with digital currency and blockchain technology. So, folks, that's one you're not going to want to miss because this is very new, cutting edge. It's constantly changing. So we try to bring guests to you that have the latest information, the latest trends and all. So always come prepared with paper and pen because you'll be taking some notes at every single one of our shows, that's for sure.
Well, I know we're ending a little early today, Lynn, but sometimes too much information is too much. And right now I think we've gone through everything that we had on our notes. I just hope that people will go to the Facebook page, Cryptopreneurs, come to the meetup page. And if you don't know about meetup, go to Cryptopreneurs, go to meetup.com and type in Cryptopreneurs and learn more about it. It's a great way to build relationships across the country and around the world with like-minded people. Then thanks for joining me today. I'm looking forward to next week's show. Once again, a big thank you to Mark for joining us, and go to the Merkle.com. And learn some more about it. That's the show for today, folks. I hope everyone will join us next week. Have a great week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Cryptopreneurs Radio, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you'd like more information about this show, please visit CryptopreneursRadio.com.